Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
Romantic relationships, and more specifically marriage, have always been challenging. This is especially true today, what with the focus on toxic masculinity and the Me Too movement. However, they're not going anywhere. Humans are compelled to pair up. So isn't it better to figure out how to be more successful at it? If you listen to the show, you know that I think so. So, which is why I'm really excited to talk with life coach Shayna James about her take on this ever-challenging dance of male-female connection. So, Shayna, thank you so much for being on the show and talking about what is going to be a really interesting topic.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So, one of the things that you talk about is you talk about the role of influence in attraction, and I found that an interesting take on it. What do you mean by influence, and how does it impact attraction?
Yeah, so I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and I came up with influence because it's like, you know, influence is the ability to have an impact on someone, and when I looked it up in the dictionary, it was actually to have an influence with not a lot of effort, right, and not a lot of energy, which is what I really like to support men with. And I started realizing that a lot of the men who've come to me, part of why they've been struggling and upset and not having either the love life or the sex life they want is that they haven't been able to influence or inspire a woman to say yes to what they want. And so I started really looking at, well, you know, how do you authentically influence another person? Because, you know, we all know that, well, I don't know if we all know, I would say, right, influence can be manipulative or it can be authentic and genuine. And when it's authentic, I think it's a win-win, right? Everybody gets what they want, or there's more of what each person wants versus, okay, well, now I need to try to figure out what I'm supposed to say or what script I'm supposed to follow or how I'm supposed to do this. You know, if a man can actually authentically influence his partner, whether it's in work or in romance, then he gets more of what he wants.
Well, and I really like the influence because it's also, the way you describe it, it's almost when done non-manipulatively, it's almost an invitation.
Yeah.
To come do what you want to do anyway. And and so it turns into a win-win because not only does the guy get it, but so does the lady.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, to me, that whole influence is you kind of, whether I'm going to get nailed for this or not, I happen to like it when, you know, my husband will, you know, give me a hand if I'm, you know, trying, if I'm up on, you know, either trying to, like, get up on a chair, down from a chair. It's like he'll be there to kind of help me and invite me and support me. And that kind of a thing is, to me, incredibly attractive.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, like you said too, right, it's there's something in it for both of us. And when we figure out what that is, then it flows a lot more smoothly. And so much of what I work with are, I call them the invisible factors of influence, where it's so not about the words we say, because you could say, I've had this experience, right, where the same man has said the same thing to me, exact same words, and it comes off completely differently. You know, with one man, I'm ready to say yes and jump into bed or say yes to a date, let's say. And with another man, I'm like, that doesn't feel good, right? There's something strange about it. And so I work a lot with what it is beyond words that people are responding to.
Well, I think that you say that because I'm sure you're aware of the studies that show it's something like 10% of communication.
7%.
Oh, it's only 7? Yeah. That 7% of communication is the words, and that the rest of it, the other 93%, is everything else. And I think that's, you know, how you go from, oh, here's the lounge lizard who's feeding me a line, to, no, here's somebody who you can tell they're speaking the truth or their truth.
Exactly. And
And what
I was going to say I work a lot with men. I don't know if we kind of set that up in the beginning, that I
Right.
do more work with men right now than I do with women. And one of my courses, I have the 10 essentials of attraction, authentic attraction, that most men never learn. And one of them is that when your insides match your outsides, right? That's something that a woman can trust and feel safe with and say yes to. And safety is often the thing that helps us as women start to then feel okay to open our bodies and start to, feel that attraction and feel our love once we feel safe.
Well, and I actually think that's a really good point, and you brought up trust too, because if we don't feel safe, we can't trust, and if we don't trust, we can't open up either physically or emotionally, but especially not physically. And it's talking about those. There was a guy who wrote a book called The Gift Fear a long time, several years ago, and that's kind of what a lot of women are very in tune to. It's kind of like where you're in a situation, and the hair on the back of your neck stands up, and you're in something that on the surface looks exactly the same, and you're perfectly fine. So I think,
It's
and
powerful.
well, and here's an interesting question, because you work with men. Do men have that same, for lack of a better word, spidey sense? Or I think they must on some level, but I think that as
I
women,
think,
knowing that we can be hurt physically, it's I don't want to say we're hypersensitive,
I
but
think,
we
well,
darn
I
well
think
better
it
be paying
is.
attention.
Yeah, I think it's stronger in women because we have our, because we tend to be smaller and we can be hurt in physically, more often. But I also think it's conditioned out of men. When I end up working with men and I help them actually cultivate the ability to be attuned to their partner or, to someone they're dating and really feel what the other person is feeling and notice the subtleties and all of that. Like, once they start actually learning some of those things, I think their spidey sense starts to come back.
Right, and I do think it starts a lot of times, and we actually, as a society, we'll try to do this with women too, about, oh, go give Aunt Jessie a hug, or don't, Uncle Tim. It's like my kids ever had the kind of I don't want to be around that person. I figured they were picking up something that I wasn't, and I wasn't going to force it.
Good
And
mom.
so, but talking about this, kind of tuning in kind of goes to the next thing I wanted to ask about, because you talk about one of the things that can help somebody be more influential and therefore more attractive is mastering one's attention. And I found that an interesting thing, especially because of all the focus on mindfulness and being present and all of that kind of thing, and what you just talked about. So, what makes this so important, and what are some of the challenges like?
Well,
Because, like I said, guys have been taught not to pay attention to this kind
And what makes this so important is, I'm getting really excited, I can feel it, is that,
of stuff.
the attraction tends to build in the kind of silence or in the spaces in between. It's like musical notes, right? There's the notes and then the space in between, and that space in between tends to be where attraction builds. And yet we're all so busy and distractible that we don't have any space in there. And so, the practice of mastering your attention, it's really being able to focus on what you want to focus on and what you're choosing to focus on and what's meaningful and important. And so, I work a lot with 3 to 5 main attention shifts that men and women can do this too, make that actually then start to, like we said, it's something that doesn't feel like, a lot of my men are like, well, I don't feel like I'm doing anything, and yet women are responding to me totally differently, and I'm like, great, that's what we're going for here, right? It's not like you want this to feel
It's
like
not
hard
supposed to
work.
be hard
No,
work.
it's not supposed to be hard, right? And so I work with men to shift their attention from the past or future into the present, right? So it's not like, oh, what I'm going to need to do at work tomorrow or what I've been doing today. It's like, right here, right now. And another main one is from their head to their body. So that one can take a little bit more time and attention to help a man actually feel like, well, what is it to actually be awake in my body? Mm-hmm. And then the third one is what's the third one that I often do?
I'm totally blanking. I hate when that happens, yeah.
I know.
Well, like,
you
what
know,
is it? What is that thing? Yeah.
Yeah. There are another couple, and some of them are, you know, shifting from complaint to desire, because mm-hmm. anything that you have your attention on where you're complaining about it, you actually have a desire there. So all of these actually lead to mastering your attention. And when you're then sitting with a person or a woman, let's say in this case, and she feels your attention actually on her, and you're taking her in through not only your head but your body, and you're here in the moment, and when you look into her eyes, she feels like, whoa, you're really here with me. Mm-hmm. There is a spark. It's like a fire that starts to get lit that doesn't get lit when it's, you know, thinking about the past and future and talking about all kinds of things and not allowing for that space.
Well, that's interesting that you talk about that, because as you were talking about that, that brought to mind what I know about, or what we know about, the process of falling in love with somebody. And it really is about becoming attentive that, you know, everything around that person and when you're with that person is heightened, and you want to be with them right now. And and so it's like, well, of course, and everybody wants that feeling. And, you know, that's one of the things that I think a lot of times happens if we've been in a relationship for a while, is we kind of stop doing that. It's kind of like, you know, I mean, I kind of would joke with people. It's like, yeah, I expect my husband to come home every night, but I'm also very glad that he does. I don't ignore him when he walks in the door. It's, you know, I'm not surprised that he's home, but I'm pleased that he's home, because he could choose to go someplace
pleased.
Else.
Yes. And but actually to focus on that, I think, to focus on not taking something for granted or having our attention somewhere like, oh, I knew you were going to come home, versus, oh, my gosh, I actually am really grateful. That creates a very mm-hmm. different relationship.
So what makes that such a challenge? I mean, I know that we are in this 24/7, constantly being on, got to be on Facebook, got to be checking my emails, got to be, mm-hmm. you know, on the video games, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what, I mean, and I think I do know the answer to this, because
I think, you do.
Being present can be a little scary.
Yes.
And it's much easier to
office,
distract.
Yeah, there's it's so much easier. I was in my office the other day with a man who, you know, he was talking, and then he looked at me, and I said, okay, don't look away for a moment. And he was like, what? And I said, let's just stay here. And suddenly, I mean, it was really like the whole room filled with this energy. And I said, okay, how are you doing? And he was like, this is kind of uncomfortable. And I said, well, yeah, you know, but when you can actually learn to breathe and settle and actually feel relaxed in this kind of intimacy and contact, that's when you start to ignite attraction, whether it's a date or you've been with someone for decades, that's when it actually, you know, starts to happen more naturally and happen more.
So what are some ways for people to do this, kind of without somebody to say, okay, now don't look away right now?
Yeah,
because I mean, it's one thing when somebody is seeking out assistance mm-hmm. from somebody like you versus, mm-hmm. okay, yeah, we've been together for 3 years and, you know, it's good and, you know, I can go think about other things. How do we help people in that moment to decide, no, I don't need to go see Shane. I know how to do this. What is it that people can be doing?
Like, how do we get them to actually be able to do it on their own?
Yeah.
I mean, right, you know, as well
other than
as I
practice.
Do this work too, right? Sometimes it does take having someone who sits with you and actually guides you into the place of your attention or your psyche or your body such that you know, like, oh, that's how I do it, right? So sometimes it does take help, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's, you know, the
I actually
the
think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. But what someone can do on their own, I mean, first I would suggest if you already are in a relationship, having a conversation where you say, hey, I heard this new thing. Do you want to try it out together so that we're on the same team, you know, so that it's not like, here's this thing I'm trying to do and I'm not telling my partner. And then my partner's like, what's going on? How come you're looking at me more than you usually do, right? And it becomes some kind of strange thing. Why are you staring at me? And, you know, so I always love the, let's be on the same team here. Let's communicate. Let's talk about what we want and how we want to try new things and, you know, make it playful, make it a game and make it exciting.
Yeah, and I think one of the other things that people have to do is put down your phones.
Actually be willing to connect and be intimate.
Yeah, the I word goes along with the V word, vulnerability, which are all the rage these days, but rather difficult to talk about. So, this, it's kind of a crazy thing that we're trying to get people to do.
It is. You know, it's on the one hand, it's crazy, and on the other hand, it's really simple, and we've just filled in all the space, like we were saying before. You know, it's like we're constantly hearing notes of music without any space in between, and there's just, you know, we're bombarded in a way. And so because we're not taught to be more intimate, it's really challenging, and yet it's the thing many of us walk around craving, like, you know, to feel understood by someone or heard by someone or touched by someone in a way where, you know, physically, if we're talking in your sex life, whoa, that person actually really understands my body and knows what I like and knows how to give me pleasure, and we can do this dance together whether it's physically, emotionally, whatever. I mean, you know, there's not much like that in the world.
Right, and there's always, and there's this idea that if we're not always busy, we're wasting time. And it's like, oh, my God, no, that's not it at all.
No.
So this is Happily Ever After is just the beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm talking about the importance of influence and attraction in a romantic relationship with life coach Shayna James. And if you find yourself struggling to keep the passion or connection alive in your relationship, it really doesn't have to stay that way. You can regain your power to influence and ignite someone else's attraction. But you got to do something. You have to take action. So I invite you to send me an email or give me a call and learn more about the Hero Husband Project. You can reach me at area code 919-924-0463, or you can send me an email at Leslie, L-E-S-L-I, at foundationscoachingnc.com. That's FOUNDATIONS, coaching, Coaching, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie.com, and the Leslie does not have an E. So let's get back to this really important topic about how to create more influence and attraction. So we were talking before the break about waking up one's body and how to do that. And you talked about, you know, having the guy or having your clients kind of feel into what's going on. And when I was reading about this, I'm thinking, is this something men are really willing to do?
Because well, it's so interesting. Here's the thing, because you don't have to, as a man, nobody has to know that you're doing this. That's the awesome part about it, right? So, you know, I think we were talking about...
So it's
about
not like dropping and giving me 20 push-ups or something where everybody doesn't know you're doing it.
This is more about awareness than it is athleticism. So you can sit, you know, often what I have men do is just, okay, put attention on your feet. And you can even do this right now. Like, put some attention on your feet and see what you're feeling. And you can check with temperature, and sometimes there's a buzzing or pressure where your foot's touching the ground or your shoe. And it's really like starting to use your whole body as a sensory unit, or what, you know, whatever you want to call it, right? But sensing through your whole body, and that as you start to wake up your body and feel more in every inch of your body, you know, you become more like a pleasure receptacle, right? So you can actually have more pleasure in your own life and you can create more pleasure. And one of the things I talk about is that we're like tuning forks as mm-hmm. people. And there's a lot of research about mirror neurons and how we can, you know, feel what other people feel. And so as you start to wake up your body, people around you naturally start to have that experience too. Like, whoa, suddenly I feel more energized, or ooh, mm-hmm. suddenly I feel more turned on, or, you know, that happens in this invisible way as we start to wake up our bodies.
So is this, I mean, I like the idea, you know, it's like, you put your feet on the floor. What do you feel? I mean, there's a lot of times mm-hmm. it's like, okay, so, you know, what is my body touching? So I can, you know, I'm touching yeah. the chair, you know, the back of my legs, you know, my low, you know, my back against yeah. the chair. So those kinds of things. So how does, I mean, I know you're talking about like the mirror neurons, which are really kind of a cool thing. I mean, I geek out on brain stuff.
yeah.
So, but, and it does seem to be, you know, because you do, you see those people who seem to be so alive, and that when they walk in the room, the energy of the room
you
changes.
You can't help
it,
but so feel it. Yeah.
So that's something that's available to everybody then. We don't.
Yes, it is. It is. You just have to cultivate it. You know, the more you do it, and the more you're, I think this is part of it too. The more you're willing to feel, the more it happens. And by willing to feel, I mean, you know, what we would say the good and the bad, right? It's, I don't see it as
yes.
bad. I see, you know, sadness and grief and anger and frustration. All those things are part of our aliveness. And often we're taught to squash that, you know, be a happy kid and don't complain mm-hmm. and don't say anything negative or don't feel bad. Or, you know,
or heaven forbid, if you're a boy, don't cry.
Don't cry, especially as a man, right? Or you're fine, you know, man up and
right.
all of that.
Suck it up.
And so
yeah.
that what that does is it numbs a man out, you know, and women too, to our bodies. And so there is a kind of relearning to actually feel what our bodies are capable of. And it becomes kind of, you know, there's like a, it's like a ninja skill. There's like a ninja warrior. I often say these are superpowers, so please use them for good, you know, because you can start turning women on when you walk in the room without actually having to do something.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love that you talked about the idea, and I think this is where a lot of people get scared, is that mm-hmm. when we try to shut down what I call the hard emotions.
The hurt, I like that, you know, yep.
The hurt, the fear, the frustration, the stuff we don't want to feel.
Mm-hmm.
But if we shut down those, we also shut down the joy and the happiness.
Exactly.
Because people don't understand, it's not like a buffet where you get to pick, I'll have some
right.
of this and some of that, but I don't want any of that. It's like,
yeah.
no.
It's all on the same dial in a way, right?
Right. You have them all or you have none. And I think that's
yeah.
one of the things that a lot of times men, well, one, they're trained a lot of times to shut down
mm-hmm.
their emotions, because it was having this conversation with Brian Reeves on a previous show about being in the military, and it's like, yeah, we have to, you know, train this out of you, otherwise kill people.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you'll have empathy for
killed.
Them, and, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, we do this with guys, and then we wonder why they're not in touch with their feelings, and
right.
except for anger, which of course is,
yeah.
you know, and then it makes them one-dimensional.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had a lot of clients, I'm sure you have too, that they don't, if you say, well, what do you, and I don't use the, so how does that make you feel? But
yeah,
I do the, what are you feeling right now?
Uh-huh.
And they'll look at me like I'm speaking some foreign language.
Right.
It's like,
or,
what do you mean? What am I feeling?
I think. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And I
yeah,
think that's one of the things.
The thought.
And I think that's when they struggle with the women in their lives, when the women are upset and crying, and that
mm-hmm.
that's a very uncomfortable experience for the guys, because like, I don't want to, don't do that.
Right.
Stop.
Right, and they can start to become, so that's right, that's their discomfort with
mm-hmm.
someone feeling something. And so one of the things I work with, it's kind of like a, think about it like a light bulb with men, where you know, this can happen with attraction or, like you said, with some of those harder feelings where, you know, say you're normally a 100-watt bulb and suddenly you feel attracted to someone or you feel angry. It's like, whoa, now there's 500 watts running through me. And men can actually, as they wake up their bodies, and again, women too, this isn't just gendered, mm-hmm. but they can learn to hold more energy and not need to just get rid of it, right? Either by dissociating and checking out or lashing mm-hmm. out and getting angry or shutting down whatever we do. So they can actually learn to hold all that energy. And then what becomes available is more passion and more intimacy and connection and, you know, a hotter sex life. I like talking about sex in a way because it's the concrete expression of all of this, right? I mean, this happens
right.
emotionally and in relationship and conversation too, but sex is sometimes the clearest way to actually see it in action.
Right. Yeah, because that's, you know, that's tangible.
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly.
Now, I want to go back to something that you were talking about earlier, because I thought it was a really wonderful visual, and it was talking about the space between the notes, and that goes into this last action that you talk about, I'm assuming, is about connecting in silence. That's kind of that space between the notes, right?
Yeah, the silent connection, and I talked about that when I was talking about my client who, you know, we made that eye contact. It's like, I did a meditation one day where I sat in front of people for 8 hours silently, and you just start to notice, you know, wow, what comes up in silence? It can be really uncomfortable. What's the person thinking mm-hmm. about me, and what should I do, and am I good enough, and am I attractive, and all those things. But when you actually start to work with that or play with that and get more comfortable in the silence, then what starts to become available is you can start to read the person across from you. Like, you can start to be attuned, like we were talking about. And then it becomes this, I don't know, more of a dance in a way, or more mm-hmm. of a play, where instead of both people being in this disconnected, both in their heads, kind of touching each other from a place of sort of half being there, you know, then it's like, wow, everybody's here and all cylinders are firing, and it becomes beautiful. People's hearts actually can touch, and then their bodies can have incredible pleasure, and it's really much more intimate.
Right, and it really is about getting out of your head, which is one of the things that I think a lot of people struggle with, but I think nowadays, and it's one of the things I've always talked with my clients about, is that women need to turn off their brains mm-hmm. to be able to be open to intimacy, physical intimacy. It's like, you know, you can't be thinking about the laundry or,
right.
you know, whether the kids are going to hear you
or
right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, and because the minute, you know, I mean, we would tell jokes, you know, when people would have children and they'd be young and, you know, they'd be getting busy and being physically intimate, and then the baby would start crying, and the guy would be, okay, just another couple of minutes, and I'm almost done. And the woman's like, nope, done. You know, the minute that baby cries, it's like a light switch. It's like, done. And you know, people don't understand, but it's about getting into your head, I think, just
well, yeah.
like you're talking
about. And then
about.
Actually how the couple together can actually troubleshoot in a way, right? It's like sometimes it's like, well, I've got one idea, but I've got this different idea, and right, I want to mm-hmm. have sex for a couple minutes longer. Nope, I'm done. But there is a way that we can also help to relax each other, you know, and mm-hmm. bring each other back more into the moment and into our bodies. And that takes practice, too.
So what are some ways that people can do that? Because I do think that, and this is one of the challenges, and this is one of those things where I think being in touch with our body in that way falls under what would be considered, you know, feminine energy, which, you know, of course we all have both masculine and feminine energy, and that kind of feeling into your body and feeling into your feelings is considered feminine, which is, I mean, that's just kind of the way it's designed.
Yeah, maybe. And, I mean, I kind of want to throw that out of the water, though, and just say, like, we all have bodies, and we can either, you know, use them and feel them and act through them, or we can not. So, yeah, let's make it not like, okay, now it's this, I'm feminine if I'm feeling my body. And it doesn't have to be this woo-woo flowy way. Like, it's like
that's
primal
true,
and
true.
Masculine and lion, and, you know, that can happen, too.
Right. And so I think part of it mostly is, I guess where I was going with that was getting out of our heads, because that's where we spend so much of our time. And we, you know, and this is one of the things I talk about with people when they want to know, you know, how to rekindle their relationship. And one of the first questions I ask them is, how much time do you spend together? You know, actual physical, undiverted. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, oh, well, we sit on the couch and he watches, you know, he's on the computer and she's watching TV. I said, that's not what I'm talking about. That's, you are, you're physically in the same space,
time
but you are not
really
together.
Yes.
you know, it's like, and we talk in most of the time what I call informational exchange, you know, two, 3 minutes tops. It's like you can't connect in 2 or 3 minutes, and it's when you've been sitting and talking for 20 minutes that it's like, oh wow, you know, you're more into, like, I guess it goes back to being present and paying attention and noticing what your partner's doing, and are you looking at them so you can see the expressions in their eyes or going across their face.
Exactly.
So that's the kind of stuff we're talking about here, right?
Yep.
Terrific. So where could somebody find out more about this process, about, because I don't know anybody who doesn't want to influence other people and be attractive.
Yeah. That's, well, the best place to go is to my website. It's shanajamescoaching.com, and Shana is S-H-A-N-A. And I would say go to shanajamescoaching.com/3ways, the number 3 ways. And I have a guide there that's called 3 ways Men Lose Influence at Work and with Women. And, you know, it really goes into what influence is, when it starts, how men lose it, and then how they can actually gain it again to really have more of the success and attraction and love and relationships that they want.
I think that's fantastic. And so the key to success in any aspect of your life, I hate to say this to you guys and ladies, is to understand yourself, who you are, what you want, why you do what you do. Being successful in your relationships is actually no different. And while it's easy to focus on the other person, it's looking in the wrong direction. Your real power, as we've been talking about today, comes from within. And so the most important question to answer is, are you ready to claim that power? So hopefully you'll keep listening to the show and learn more from all my wonderful guests. And until next week, stay loving.